Right now it is time for Cover Your Assets with the one, the only, Jim Lynch. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, politics, sports, and more, bringing many years of experience to these topics and more. And we say good morning to Jim. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Marshall. Good morning, everybody out there. I hope you're doing very well, heat notwithstanding. Some great, great news for all Americans and for Joe Biden. We finally have passed a huge, huge climate change legislation, which will begin for us to start limiting the amount of fossil fuels that we generate and go off into our atmosphere and cause the pollution and other things that we have. It's not just a step forward in terms of what makes common sense in terms of saving our world. Forget about the country. It's going to create a lot of new jobs, which will mean new training for a lot of young people. It will also result in a lot of new equipment being built and put in place in the process of dealing with this pollution situation, this climate change problem we have. Along those lines, it's so, so important to remember that we had a shot in many years ago, 20-some-odd years ago, to elect Al Gore, who was right on this climate change problem. How the world has changed, unfortunately, not for the best since that time. But that said, it underscores we must vote. We must vote in November. We must vote every time we have a chance. Our country seems to be besieged at the moment by a segment of the population which would prefer to be ignorant of the facts, stupid, violent, etc. So hopefully a lot of the good news that is now coming out of Washington will begin to get to people who seem to be concerned about everything under the sun. Also, Joe Biden has just signed a CHIPS agreement whereby U.S. corporations will be basically paid to bring the manufacturing home from China, that where we've been getting all of our chips. And it couldn't be more timely in light of the fact that we obviously are having a little bit of a problem with China. I'm wondering if really that problem is that this legislation takes away a lot of revenue from their country over time, as opposed to Nancy Pelosi's being there. That said, Nancy's timing could have been better, but the woman has earned, and then some, the right to do certain things which don't hurt us, but make it a little bit more challenging in dealing with the Chinese. So we've had the chip legislation, the education regarding guns, health, something for everybody. Biden is on the move. He did a lot of this while sitting in his living room and letting Senator Schumer do the heavy lifting. There was cooperation from Manchin at last, and the lady from Arizona, though she didn't go whole hog on everything. The minimum tax on corporations has been raised to 15%. That's going to reduce the deficit, which is very important because we are spending a lot of money in Ukraine and elsewhere. In any event, we're on the move. Now, in terms of stock market and investing and so forth, that's kind of a different question because there's so much uncertainty in the air internationally and domestically, these domestic terrorists, that people are really finding it very difficult to get their hands on a certain amount of stability. We're seeing earnings on the chip companies coming off, which has been overdue because of their reliance on China and because of backlog. All of this will eventually even out. But hopefully during the last months, you've trimmed your portfolios to a state where they're very manageable risk-wise, and quality-wise. It's not really time to move money back into the market. I would really continue to look to ferret out weak sisters. Cash can be king. And I want to remind you, if you really need certainty, you can get a yield of a 320, 325 on a two-year U.S. government backed by your government. This yield surpasses the general yield on the S&P 500, which is about 2%. So the weather is hot, but finally they did some legwork in D.C. and got things going.
Well, a lot of interesting news broke yesterday, and it's relation to Donald Trump, but it's not in relation to Donald Trump and the January 6th hearings. It's been confirmed today by multiple news sources that the raid on Donald Trump's home in Mar-a-Lago was exclusively for the documents that were reportedly taken out of the White House and not given to the proper authorities, that contain security-level clearances. That is what the FBI raid is about. It was not about January 6th. It was about the documents that were taken and not given to the proper office. And they want to, I guess, check and make sure that they got all those documents back. But what most people didn't realize, and I don't even think Donald Trump would have realized it because his lawyers would have told him about it, is that when you're president, anything you write down, any memo you give becomes part of history and must be turned over. And if you don't, you're breaking the law, especially if it comes with national security documents. So for people who are thinking that there was about January 6th, it's not. This is a separate case that Donald Trump has three fronts that he's going to be fighting on. One is January 6th. This, the documents that he took and or destroyed by flushing them down the toilet. And the other one is in New York State, of course. So he's going to be very busy in the courts for the next several months.
Apropos of what you mentioned about his lawyers would have told him the right thing to do, many people on the record who are lawyers in the White House having told Donald Trump countless times that what he was doing was illegal in terms of the planning of the insurrection and so forth, the denial of the election returns. There's a little add to, you're absolutely right. I mean, this is a separate case, but it's really kind of unique in a sense. First of all, Trump took a lot of documents. Some were returned to the archives, but obviously not all of them, many of which are classified. Classified meaning only a top people could see them. A little add to the story is there is a rumor floating about by a pretty competent reporter that supposedly the feds, and this could be made up, okay, because it's kind of glamorous, that the feds wanted to beat Trump to the punch because supposedly they were getting wind of the fact that he was going to sell some of these classified documents, obviously to foreigners. Now, please, that is not official. That's hearsay. It is from a good reporter. But the point is, why would he ever bring all these documents to his country, hotel, golf course, restaurant to just take up space unless he had some plans for them? And these documents in the wrong hands would provide a lot of money to Trump. Just watch that story. Again, this is not fact. This is hearsay from some very good reporting people.
What's interesting about this, CNN also today has shown pictures from Maggie Haberman, I guess, of documents that were flushed down the toilet as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. And, of course, you're going to have that going on along with along with the investigation into Joe Biden's son. And once again, I have been down on Joe Biden for the past 7 months. Very, very disappointed. But then very quietly, he's gotten a lot done. With only a one vote majority in the Senate, and to be quite honest with you, in his first year and a half, 2 years in term, he has gotten far more done than President Barack Obama did when he had in his first term a big he had the Senate and the House. And he's done most now, and it's more in his first term than most first-term presidents have done. I don't know whether it's enough to counter all the stuff that's the age issue, but he obviously has done quite a lot.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up from a different standpoint. It's amazing how this country, which is so ready, not the whole country, but many in the country, so ready and willing to accept conspiracy theories and downplay good things and push on bad things. I think a lot of that has been the backdrop for Biden. Mind you, I've had reservation on him as well. I think he has moved a little too slowly. I think his dealing with Manchin was terrible. He should have taken him into the coat closet and stood him up by his shoulder. But whatever, he's finally getting something done. In terms of his age, all of these politicians are getting older, so I don't know what the choice is going to be. I think eventually he'll probably have, if the Dems come back, and I have a feeling, and I bet I'd need some odds that the Dems come back and they really succeed a lot more than we anticipate right now. That'll give him, as in sailing, a tremendous wind, a right-on wind. So let's hope, because his success is our success. And he's a very brave person in that he's been sick. Certainly people have been dying, even have been boosted and so forth. But he has prevailed, and he's gone to eastern Kentucky where there are floods. He's gone to Uvalde, Texas. These are little small places. The President of the United States goes there to empathize with people. He's not going to get a lot of votes out of that, but this is who the man is. The man is of character. The man is of empathy. The man is what we'd like to call the best of human beings. And maybe if we had a few more of those in politics, we'd all be able to smile a lot more.
I'm looking at some news out of the Ukraine this morning. That I don't know if people, this was released 21 minutes ago. Ukrainian military has done its deepest strike yet into Russian-occupied territories. They struck a town which was very close to Crimea, about 200 kilometers, about 125 miles from the nearest Ukrainian front line, using these special long-range guns that the Americans provided. And they're blowing up. What they're basically doing now with these long-range is they're trapping Russian soldiers where supply lines can't be refilled. And what it shows to me is that this war is going to really linger on like everything that happened with us in Vietnam, like what happened with Russia and the United States in Afghanistan. It's that this great push by the Russians now to move to the east and just capture all the Donbas region has basically come to a stall after they gained about 6 to 10 kilometers. This is going to be a very, unless cooler heads prevail and some common sense comes out on both sides, this is going to be something that goes on for years at this pace.
Yes, and I think the Ukrainians have the spirit and the fight that the Russian people, once they get more of these body bags back, and once their economic life suffers and social life suffers more and more, it could conceivably be some Russian civilians that begin to basically say, hey, enough already. This is a little pipsqueak country, and you're sending our boys and girls there. I think the toll so far is 41,000 dead Russians out of, I think, they sent 400,000 originally. Those are not accurate figures. I mean, I don't have them at my fingertips, but they're good enough. When you lose 41,000 people in 5 months, you're really going a little bit beyond what maybe your civilized people in your country are going to be willing to accept. But on the other hand, I totally agree with you, Marshall. This thing's going to go on and on and on. Thankfully, though, Zelensky has his, the Ukraine's have his back. I'm not so certain that the oligarchs are going to continue to be in Putin's back. They've had a great life. Plenty of dough. Their children have gone to Western schools, all kinds of luxuries, several homes, boats, and so forth. This stuff is beginning to be taken away from them. And it only takes one, and then maybe you've got a new guy in place.
Now, we were talking about climate change in the beginning and the policies with Joe Biden. Here's what gives billionaires a bad name. A band of billionaires, including, listen to this merry band, Jeff Bezos, Michael Bloomberg, Bill Gates, and others, are now in Iceland. And the climate change in Iceland has been grinding down ice at an unprecedented rate, okay? And it's recreated an opportunity for investors and mining companies to look for deposits that would be the first or second most significant nickel and cobalt deposit in the world. What would nickel and cobalt do? It would provide basically enough energy to power cars that are made for electric only. So it's a sad thing to see that climate change is going to open up this opportunity for the wealthy. And I don't know how I feel about it, Jim. I want a healthier climate. I think that we need to do hybrid cars, but to take advantage of this disaster and to try to mine more of the Earth's natural resources kind of hits me the wrong way.
Well, I think the key is in the way that they do it. I mean, I don't know who's going to be regulating it, but mining generally is not the safest or best way in terms of people and or the surrounding countryside. So there'll be more to play there. One, that they would invest is wonderful. Two, if they do it properly, is wonderful. Three, I think we have to, myself included, including with you, be like Biden and accept the fact that the ladies from Arizona and Manchin took their piece of cheese in voting and getting this big thing done. However, back to climate change. If they don't do it properly, then they will just, and I'm not a cobalt miner, okay, but if they don't do it properly, then it might add to our problem. On the one hand, yes, you might get power, but what comes with the power? It's a big question, and a question that I think you should continue to follow as we go along.
All right. Well, we've had a lot to talk about, Jim. I hope your wife is feeling better, and I hope everything's going along good for you.
Things are getting better, and I thank you for asking. And I see that you still have a few animals taking care of you. So, what else? life goes on.
Life goes on, and the Mets have basically secured the division against the Atlanta Braves over the past 2 weeks.
Isn't that incredible?
So it's going to be the Yankees, Yankees winning a division, even though they've had a tough time the last week, but they've got such a big lead. And the Mets now have almost an eight-game lead, and there's only about 50 games left in the season. So who would have thought that the Yankees and Mets would be both be in first place at this time of the year, at the beginning of the season?
Let's hope that we see them in the fall. We need an uptick, yeah.
It'd be nice to have another Subway Series. All right, Jim, I want you to have a good week, and we'll speak to you next week.
You too, Rachel.
Take care.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets here on The Breakfast Club on Robin Hood Radio. You can find more at robinhoodradio.com on the web.